Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
Yeah, good evening. What a game. What a performance. Royals win the opener. They shut out the Twins. 5-0, the final score. I'm just flipping through my scorebook, and I have to go back to game 127. What's that, 15 games ago? That's the best Royals game in 2.5 weeks. The most well-rounded Royals game we've seen in, yeah, just over 2.5 weeks. Boy, so much to celebrate, so much to talk about tonight. I have a few different questions I want to pose to you. But first, just give me your thoughts, man. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's also our text line number if you just want to shoot me a text. 913-586-7965. I want to talk about the postseason as the Royals now leapfrog Minnesota to take over second place in the division and the second wild card. I'd love to talk matchups with you. You know, Houston, Baltimore, New York, is there a team that stands out and you say, yes, bring them on? That's the team I want the Royals to face 3 straight days in their ballpark in the wild card round. Phone lines, text line number 913-586-7965. But as far as this victory tonight, man, whatever you enjoy about the game of baseball, it was on display, beginning where we always begin, on the mound. Especially in 2024, we begin on the mound with the starting pitcher, another gem put forth by Cole Reagans. 6 innings of 4-hit baseball. He improves his record to 11-9 on the season, and he was dominating tonight. 7 punch-outs, 1 walk, and when trouble did present itself, Lord knows, the defense stepped up, and when Reagans needed to make a big pitch, boy, did he ever. But it was more than just Cole Reagans, as it has been all season. It's been more than just pitching, right? The starting pitching has been elite basically all year. The defense has been elite almost all year. The defense has had a rough stretch here, but boy, oh boy, tonight, the relay to gun down Kyle Farmer for the 3rd out in the 4th inning. Michael Garcia making a beautiful barehanded play in the 8th. A solid night from the defense. How about the base running tonight? Honestly, when I look at this offense tonight, it comes down to 2 words. Hunter and hustle. Now, Michael Massey blasts his 12th home run of the season. But the hustle from Bobby Witt Jr. to beat out what would have been a 5th inning double play. MJ Melendez taking that extra 90 feet in the 5th inning that turns into the 4th Royals run. Dairon Blanco, not just advancing on a wild pitch, but moving up to 3rd on a ground ball to the 3rd baseman. That results in the 5th out tonight. Hunter and hustle, I thought, were the story of this offensive night for your boys in blue. As Hunter Renfro, welcome back, my friend. 2 for 4 with 2 runs driven in. So the base running, the defense, the offense, as Tommy Pham continues to bring what this team has lacked since losing Vinny Pasquantino, and that is a consistent quality at-bat in the top 3 of the batting order. Well, Tommy Pham's been doing just that since joining this team and finding himself at the top of the Royals lineup. And then you can't forget about the bullpen. 9 up, 9 down. James MacArthur, Sam Long, and John Schreiber throw 3 innings of perfect relief. James MacArthur, as a matter of fact, over his past month, has allowed 1 earned run total over the past month. So phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. So I want to get your thoughts on the game. Yes, I do want to peek ahead to October, get your thoughts on the matchup that most you find most appetizing, or the one that you find best suited for this Kansas City Ball Club? 913-586-7965. And before we get to your phone calls, man, what a joy. Let's head inside this Royals clubhouse and talk with, what a perfect night, 3 for 3 at the dish. Michael Massey, kind enough to join us after this 5-0 Royals win. Michael, thank you very much for the time. I just made the point, and I don't know if you would agree with it, but boy, this certainly felt like the most well-rounded, clean game this ball club has played in quite a while. And September 6th, the playoff push, perfect time for it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on, Vern. I agree completely. I think obviously it's been a struggle a little bit of late, but obviously as important as it is to play well right now, it's 162 games and they all count the same. Every team that at least I've watched has gone through a similar streak and just had some tough luck there and weren't doing the little things maybe as good as we could have. And I thought you guys, we've done a good job of staying with it. And obviously last two nights have turned out a little better for us.
Now, I know the boys have remained confident, but after you belted that home run in the fourth inning, can you hear the crowd exhale as you give the team a little bit more breathing room?
the crowds have been awesome all year. I think, obviously it's been mentioned to us how much better we've been at home than on the road. And, that's a testament to the fans and, obviously there's football going on and a bunch of other things that they could be doing, but, the fact that they're out here tonight supporting us and in this playoff run is really cool.
And I can't imagine that that's where Zebby Matthews wanted that pitch, but it seems over the past, really, when you're feeling right, if they make a mistake in your kitchen, man, you've been tattooing those bad boys. You certainly did tonight. How good are you feeling right now with the dish?
Yeah, similar to the team, I felt like I was kind of in a bit of a funk there for about a week or so, and just been working hard with the hitting coaches and. They've done a good job of just watching some film and seeing maybe where I'm off. And, I feel like every day we come to the yard, we're making some adjustments and getting a little bit closer every day. And, it's been my work before the game's been better. So to see it show up in the game is always rewarding and glad it could help the team out there.
With the additions of Gurriel and Grossman and Tommy Pham, and I was listening to Tommy after the game on Wednesday, and he said he came up to you after that brilliant play you made in the first inning, and he said, "Boy, you look like me in Little League." That's how quick and nimble you are there at second base. I'm wondering what kind of confidence givers, energy givers these guys have been inside that clubhouse.
Yeah, I think really all the veterans that we have. This whole year have been incredible. And then obviously those guys included here of late, I think it's probably less vocally and more just, as a young guy, being able to watch how those guys come in and prepare and how they go out there and compete. Obviously this is not an easy league. So to be able to stick around for as long as so many of the guys in this clubhouse have, you got to come in and you got to be a professional and you got to do things the right way. So to have that example in front of us every single day and, to not just have one or two or three of them, but to have half the team like that is something that I think has really helped us out this year.
The numbers, the nerdy WAR numbers, will tell you that Cole Reagans is one of the 5 best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. He certainly looked like that tonight. What stood out to you about another outstanding start from another outstanding Royal starter?
Yeah, I think just the ways that he can attack you. He's not one dimensional, and as a hitter, he can beat you with 98 up in the zone. He can pull the string on you with a changeup, and when you think you got him down, he could drop the curveball in from the cloud. So that's obviously, again, I've faced him too many times in spring training to know that it's not a fun at bat for the opposing team. And obviously, we're lucky he's on our side, and just an incredible pitcher, and really cool. I'm really happy for him to get 200 tonight.
Yeah, man, that curveball was a buckler tonight. Mass, I appreciate the phone call, man. Great job out there, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow night against Bailey Ober.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Bert.
There you go. Michael Massey inside that Royals clubhouse. Tonight was his 60th start of the season at second base. The average second baseman has an OPS of right around 685. The average, league average second baseman has delivered an OPS of 685. through 60 games as your second baseman. Michael Massey's OPS is near 815, 130 points higher than your average second baseman. His batting average, by the way, almost 50 points higher than league average. Massey hitting 292 in 60 games at second base, a defense-first position. You're getting the best of both worlds. Again, I mentioned that outstanding defensive play that he made yesterday or Wednesday against Cleveland. And then tonight, 3-for-3. And I was struggling, you know, going in, offensively struggling going into Wednesday's game. But, you know, Wednesday comes through with the big RBI single, and today comes through with his 12th home run of the season. Thank you very much to Michael Massey dialing us up here on 96.5 The Fan. Phone lines are open for you. I appreciate you waiting. John, you were one of the less than 20,000 to turn out on a Friday. John, how you feeling, buddy?
Oh, I feel great tonight, Fern. This is, the losing streak was awful. And I think, like you said, this is a great chance for everybody to exhale and relax a little bit. But Cole Hamels pitched – Cole Hamels, oh, my gosh. Cole Reagan pitched.
He would like
so well.
That. That was his guy. He would like that. Yep.
I know. He pitched so well. And we did everything offensively without Salvi and Bobby contributing tonight.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Fantastic. It's always great to get the first win of the series, so that's fantastic too.
Yep.
And as far as who I want to play in the playoffs, and none of the teams scare me. Honestly, nobody does. The Yankees a little bit, and I'll have a better feeling for that next week. But Houston, I don't think they'd want. And the way I look at it, nobody wants to play us. Nobody would want to play us, even without Vinny. So I feel good. We're going to get another game or two this weekend, and we're going to increase our lead, and we're going to feel great going to New York. So
what a go!
Thank you, Vern. I appreciate you taking me.
Yeah, John, way to start us off, man. Personally, bring on Baltimore. I've wanted them since April. It, to me, has seemed destined. Honestly, since April, it just always felt as if you were going to have another crack at the Orioles. That the Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, American League shortstop debate would carry all the way into October. Now, I don't know how much of a debate there is. Bobby Witt Jr. leading Major League Baseball with a .337 batting average. Third highest OPS in the sport, .996. I'm interested in your thoughts. Of the three teams right now that it looks like the Royals will line up to play in the first round of the playoffs, a three-game series at their yard, would you rather go down to Minute Maid, play the Astros, go to the Bronx and take on the Yankees, or head back to Camden Yards and face off with the Orioles? 913-586-7965. Yeah, if you were one of the 19,000 in the building, we're not going to make you wait on hold. You jumped to the front of the line. I'm sure the Royals, and you heard Michael Massey just a moment ago, they appreciate the support. I will note, this was the smallest Friday crowd we've seen since April. I found that shocking. Could not believe it. Let's go back to the phone calls. Walter in Kansas City, or Walker, I apologize, Walker. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, buddy.
All good, Vern. All good. Hey, yeah, I was there at the game tonight. Dude, such an amazing atmosphere. And the weather, man, it just all coming together.
God. Gorgeous.
It felt like, and I didn't call in after the game the other night when Tommy Pham hit that home run, but my friends and I were watching it at a restaurant. It just felt like a weight was lifted off the shoulder, and it felt like that momentum sort of carried tonight with some great offense. And one thing I had a thought about, and I just wanted to run this by you, I felt like tonight my buddy and I were sitting there, and it felt like tonight's lineup felt maybe the most complete out of any lineup so far this year, just in terms of you look through, you know, 1 through 9, even the bottom half of the order, you know, there's playmakers there too. And I think this is a great spot for us to be rounding out that lineup going into the playoffs. And then the second question you asked about who we'd rather play. Bring on the Yankees. I know that's, you know, some people might be terrified, but I'm not scared at all, man. I think that we're going to be playing with house money. Obviously, everybody in Vegas is going to favor them and, you know, all the hoopla that surrounds them. But, you know, that's all the more reason why I want to play them. So I'll listen off air, Vern, but appreciate the show. And what a great night to be at Kauffman. Love it.
Oh, love it. Oh, great phone call. Appreciate it, Walker. Yeah, and the guy that you watched tonight, Cole Reagans, who has the third most strikeouts in all of Major League Baseball and the fifth most in a series. Keep in mind, he still has a few more starts to go. That guy likely pitches game one in the Bronx or in Houston or in Baltimore. Cole Reagans on the hill with house money and Bobby Witt Jr. lined up behind him. And here's the thing. Well, you mentioned it. All the pressure will be on the Yankees, the Orioles, the Astros, because all three of those organizations in 2024 are World Series or bust. Imagine a first inning run by the Royals. Imagine giving Cole Reagans an early lead. How tight that stadium will get. How nervous those Yankees, Orioles, Astros fans will become, because they know how, well, they might not know how good Cole Reagans is, but they're going to learn. Yankees likely will see Cole Reagans coming up in the finale of the series that starts on Monday in the Bronx. Cole Reagans would line up to pitch September 11th, that's Wednesday night, in the finale. So, yeah, the Royals will play with house money, but in a best-of-three series, man, you grab game one, all of a sudden game two in the Bronx? Oh, with all the radio and television and newspapers just freaking out. No, I understand where you're coming from, Walker, as far as fearing no one. Bring on all opponents. When you can line up Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Singer, however you want to line it. Well, it's certainly Reagan's Lugo, right? So long as Bobby's there at shortstop, Salvi's behind the dish or at first base. And as far as your point about the lineup tonight, listen, what Tommy Pham brings, this team has been searching for all season. So I understand where you're going with that. The return of Hunter Renfroe. Now, suddenly there's another extra base threat to go along with Bobby and Salvi. A little less, a little bit more consistent than an MJ Melendez. But MJ has certainly the power to change a game with one swing of the bat. I mentioned before he was one of the 20 best hitters in baseball in the month of August. And his hustle helped lead to the fourth run of this game tonight. A story, again, offensively, was Hunter and Hustle. That turned in, three of your five runs were courtesy of Hunter and Hustle. Royals win 5-0. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. We got to take a quick timeout. We get right back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
The pitch. Fastball lifted. High in the air. Deep to right field. Waller turns around. It's way out of here. Into the Royals bullpen. Off the facing of the section of seats behind it. And Michael Massey puts one up and out to double the Royals lead.
That was the second hit of the game for Michael Massey. He would end up matching a season high with three knocks. And then he was nice enough to call into the postgame show. If you ever miss the postgame show, don't forget you can download and subscribe to the podcast, the All Things Vern podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to Michael Massey for calling in, and thanks for that 408-foot blast in the fourth to put the boys up 2-0. Hunter Renfroe would double that lead with a two-run, two-out single in the fifth, and then a sack fly from your boy, Yuli Gurriel, in the eighth is how we arrive at our final score, 5-0 Royals. Cole Reagans, the star of this one, six shutout innings. And then the bullpen, 9 up, 9 down. James MacArthur, Sam Long, and John Schreiber, not a one of them needing more than 17 pitches to retire the side. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. Tonight was the fifth time this season Cole Reagans has spun a scoreless start of at least six innings. No left-hander in the sport has more. Let's go to the Kansas City Joes leaving the game right now. They were one of the 19,000 in the building to watch the boys pick up their seventh shutout win of the season. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, Vern, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, buddy.
Man, I just want to start off with, Tommy Pham getting us on the board first, and then the relay he made to Bobby Witt to keep us at that one-run lead. Yep. And then I want to give a shout-out to the bottom half of the order, too. Michael Massey starting it off, and then just everyone else was picking up the top half of the lineup, too. Yep. And then our pitching tonight, bullpen combined for four strikeouts in the last three innings, man. I couldn't be prouder of them tonight.
Oh, I love hearing it. Great phone call, Joe. Previous caller mentioned Bobby and Salvi, a combined 0-for-8, and you win going away. And I sit here, you know, this is what, the 142nd game of the season? We have 20 left. And I sit here and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But if you would have told me that back-to-back games, neither Bobby nor Salvi drives in a single run, I'll tell you this, I certainly would not have guessed that the Royals would have outscored their opponents by, on average, 4 runs a game. So yeah, 100%, Joe, shout out the bottom half of that lineup. Hunter Renfroe with 2 hits in his first game back since aggravating a hamstring. Michael Massey, 3 knocks. Yuli Gurriel, again, with every time he's in the lineup, he's picking up at least 1 knock. Gurriel with a single and a sacrifice fly. Michael Garcia with a classic opposite field rope in the 4th. And Kyle Isbell, first one to touch home plate after he draws a 1-out walk and comes around to score on your boy, Tommy Pham's RBI double. Pham makes Zebby Matthews pay for missing with that fastball. He meant that bad boy to be low and away, but it ran back over the dish, and Tommy Pham crushed it. Tommy Pham's been crushing everything in the zone since joining the Royals. He's hitting 333 in 5 games with Kansas City, 7 hits in 5 games, all as the leadoff hitter. 3 of those 7 hits have gone for extra bases, so I know it's a small sample size, but a 900 OPS from your leadoff hitter early on. Now, I told you that Tommy Pham was the only one of those 3 acquisitions last weekend that I had any sort of expectations for. But even he has exceeded my expectations in the first few games, 5 games, right? Tommy, Robbie, and Yuli, they've all exceeded my expectations, and I don't know why I allowed that to happen, because it sure does seem that everything this front office decides, yes, that's something we need, that's something that will help, man, they're right. They just continue to hit at a ridiculous clip. So tip of the cap once again to J.J. Piccolo in that front office, man. It is fun to watch this team. It's also fun to watch this organization adjust on the fly, man. That is maybe, you know, next to Bobby's season and this rotation, I don't know if there's anything more impressive than the way that this front office has massaged the roster and retaliated to whatever blow came their way over the course of the first 142. Royals win 5-0. They're on pace to win 88 games this season. Let's go to David in Gardner. David, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say it was a great game out there tonight. We played all-around great baseball in every facet of the game. I was a little disappointed how many fans I saw out there tonight. It was perfect weather out of the K tonight. I mean, not to get you down, but 19,000 on a Friday night, 75 degrees.
It was
a little bit disappointing when we're playing the Twins with only 20 games left.
Right.
I just encourage people to try and get out there. I think we have 8 home games left the rest of the regular season.
Yep.
Other than that, I hope we play the Yankees in the, if we get a wild card, but let's be greedy and go for the division.
Yeah, I'm seeing that on the text line as well. David, great phone call, man. Always nice hearing from you. I'm seeing a lot of that same reaction on the text line right now. And I appreciate it, man. I just told you, I pretend to know what I'm talking about. Obviously I don't. But yeah, personally, man, my only thought when I saw Vinny go down last week was just hang on. I don't need you to win the division. I don't even need you to look all that good down the stretch. Just hang on to a postseason spot. I won't crush you if you can't. I'll understand, and this has been a marvelous season regardless. But boy, I'd really love to see this rotation get their flowers on a national level. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting to the postseason. I'd love to see this front office and this ownership get their love on a national level. But the only way you're going to do that is by getting to October. And I want Salvi to get another opportunity. I want Bobby to do whatever he has in store for us in October. I want him to get that chance. So, yeah, my bar was lowered. But, shoot, man, watching this game tonight, maybe it should return to where it was. Because this was the most well-rounded game in 2.5 weeks. Let me see if I can find the game. It was Michael Lorenzen pitched his tail off. Yeah, 7 shutout innings against the Angels back on the 21st of August. So, you take into account the opposition, and we're going to have to go back even further than that because the Twins are up here, right? They're a playoff team, and the Angels are all the way down here. Royals shut out the Twins 5-0, the final score. Bert writing in on the text line. Fern, I'm not thinking about being a road warrior in the wild card round. Let's get a home game. Let's get the division at worst or the top wild card spot. Hey, I like it. Yeah, maybe you set your sights higher. Maybe you're trying to track down the New York Yankees. Yankees won earlier today. They have a 4.5 game lead over the Royals for that top wild card spot in the American League. And the Royals are currently 4 games back of Cleveland in the American League Central. Cleveland's in action right now in Los Angeles, scoreless with the Dodgers in the top of the 6th. All right, let's head out to Washington. It's been a while since we've heard from Jason. Jason, nice to hear from you, pal. How you doing?
Hey, Vern. How's it going, man?
Great, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. Always good to talk to you.
Yes,
I still listen every night, just can't call in as much anymore, but great win. I totally agree. I just wanted to say thank you, what you were mentioning earlier about thank you to J.J. Piccolo, because I think Tommy Pham and this Gurriel will be just as important to this team like Ben Zobrist was in 2015. Ooh. Like always, thank you for all you do, Vern. Appreciate you.
Listen, yeah, appreciate the phone call. I can't argue. I want to just because I have a certain reverence for that championship team, and I can make a case that Ben Zobrist was the playoff MVP for that team. Beginning to end, I think Zobrist was the best player in that playoff run. But Tommy Pham's certainly capable of being that. I could say whatever I want about Yuli Gurriel, and yeah, he's 40, yeah, he's this. That bat speed's still right. The confidence isn't going anywhere. He's certainly not going to leg out any infield knocks, but that's why you have Dairon Blanco on the bench. And shout out Dairon Blanco. How about that extra 90 feet he took in the 8th inning? I know it's a 4-0 game, and at the end of it, it doesn't really matter all that much. You win 4-0, you win 5-0. But that's the sign of a good team right there. Man on second, Nobody out. Robbie Grossman grounds one to Royce Lewis there at third base. Blanco's on second, and as Lewis throws it across the diamond to first baseman Carlos Santana, the speedy Blanco takes off, takes the extra 90 feet, sets himself up for a run as Yuli Gurriel belts one to left field for the sacrifice fly. I mean, that's all Tyrone Blanco right there. That's all want to, that's desire, that's a good team. That's a guy that embraces his role, right? And seeing that we're in the mood to give out credit, Matt Quatrero, I think, deserves everyone deserves credit when you go from 56 wins and now you're on pace to win 88. Yeah, a lot of people deserve credit. But the way that this team, now with, 15 position players, man, it certainly appears to me that all 15 of them are excited for their role on the team. That's something I always respected about Terry Francona's ball clubs. Bruce Bochy's ball clubs. Everyone knows how they bring value to the team, what their role is, and they can't wait to showcase their talents in said role. That was all on display tonight. Royals win 5-0. Let's go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. What's going on? Man, I'm a little disappointed tonight. Because I got off work, sat down to watch my Royals, because I'm a huge fan of yours, a huge fan of the Royals.
For sure, you
and,
are. Of the Royals, of
apparently,
course, yes.
The game was on Apple TV tonight, so...
Yes.
I didn't get to watch it. I didn't have Apple TV. I didn't get to watch... I pay an extra
$150.
I pay an extra $150 this year to watch the Royals specifically, and didn't get to watch the game tonight, but that's okay. I guess tomorrow the game's on Fox, so I was wondering if... if there's going to be a national TV game tomorrow with Smoltz and Davis at the K tomorrow. I didn't know if that was I don't know what that was like tomorrow, but
I think it's an FS1 game. I don't know who the broadcasters are, but I believe that Ryan and Hud and Joel and the Bally's group will still be on the call locally. I believe so.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
I'm not sure. All I know is you can hear it on AM 610 The Fan and the
Odyssey.
I listen to
them every day.
Man.
But tonight, so here's the deal. Like tonight, I like Tommy Pham. I get to watch the game, but I look at the stats, and I was like, the guys that we picked up off. I mean, picking up Gurry off waivers, having Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham's played for three different teams this year. Him coming up big. I remember you. I listened to your show every night, but you said, "Who's going to step up?" And when Vinny went down, and that guy's been Michael Massey. Michael Massey. Tommy Pham has showed up in big ways.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. Right.
It's paying Gurriel, off. And a lot of
Renfro
people.
Renfro tonight. Melendez has had his moments. No doubt. Everyone's contributed. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Justin. Everyone understandably frustrated with the Apple TV thing. You got Major League Baseball in your pocket over here for Apple TV. The NFL over here taking your money for Peacock. Cable TV. Yeah, it's a ripoff. I agree. We're all being ripped off, but what are you going to do? Well, it's just... No, the NFL can get away with it. Major League Baseball cannot. They'll continue to try and continue to kill their sport. That's why you have fewer than 20,000 people here on a freaking fireworks Friday. Happy for the team, happy for the front office and the organization and the players and the coaches, but it's an embarrassing showing. And yes, I understand. I do think a lot of people not having it readily available on their own TV, easily available on their TV. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. You don't feel that same bond to these guys that you do when you're watching them day in and day out. God loves you when you're listening on the radio, and I'm sure that helps build the relationship. But yeah, man, I'm bothered by it. It's disappointing. It's frustrating, but players are undeterred. They're still. Well, you heard Michael Massey as he called into the show a little bit earlier. They're still fueled by you guys, and Kansas City does have the knack of making 15,000 sound like 30, making 19 sound like 38. You guys do a nice job of making noise when the situation calls for it. So I'll give you that. But the first time you're under 20,000 on a Friday since April? And that was against, you know, Baltimore. No, Baltimore was earlier. You had 10,000. That was against Cleveland, April 19th. Yeah, rough. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. I mentioned it earlier today on the On Deck Show, and it is in big, bold fonts on my game notes. The Royals are now 42 games above 500 when they score four or more runs. I mentioned it earlier today. If this team's able to give Cole Reagans four, no excuse to lose. Cole's got to make it hold up. And he did a lot better than that. He held them to four hits, let alone less than four runs. Cole Reagans was stellar tonight. And the Royals' offense did what they've done this season. Big knocks with runners in scoring position. And hustling their tails off, taking the extra 90 feet, which ultimately leads to additional runs. A fantastic game. Happy to see the boys win back-to-back, and now they look to make it a three-game winning streak tomorrow as Alec Marsh squares off with Bailey Ober. It's a 6:15 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. And I've been told the game is on AM 610, The Fan. Doug in Kansas City. Doug, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
What is the Royals' record against Baltimore, Houston, and New York? And what are some of their statistics?
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Doug. I'm going to have to ask you to do some of your own research. Houston just came here and handled the Royals. The Royals just went to Houston and were handled. Swept in a four-game series? Right, I'm remembering that, correct? Yeah, you lost. But their season record, I mean, I could throw in the fact of what happened back in April when the Royals swept them here. New York took 3 of 4 here at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals play the Yankees starting on Monday night. And as far as Baltimore, the Orioles took both series against the Royals, but both of those series happened back in April. So I really don't think you can read much into really any of those head-to-heads. To be quite honest with you, you know, the April series against Houston, throw it out because it's 5 months ago and both teams are drastically different. So who cares what you did against Baltimore? Now, who cares what you did against Houston, to be quite honest with you? I'm sorry. I don't care that you swept them in April. Again, that's 5 months ago. And I don't care that they just swept you in Houston, because this team, whether you agree or not, to me, they're shell-shocked. Right? Shell-shocked, and they just ran into a buzzsaw in that rotation, that Houston rotation. And as far as the New York Yankees, no, I don't believe you can read into that series as well. That was during the time when Michael Wacha was out. And to me, this team, you're not the 2024 Kansas City Royals without those big four in the rotation. Now you look at how the rotation performed while Wacha was on the shelf. I mean, it was one of, if not the worst stretch of the season from the starters. And statistically, yeah, I mean, of the, you know, the season stats, I don't think they matter as much. You know, Houston's rotation for the season hasn't always been elite, but it's elite now. I think all three bullpens are shaky. I think all three offenses are deeper. I'll put the Royals rotation up against any of them. And again, the pressure that'll be felt by the Astros, the Orioles, the Yankees, and their fans is going to be palpable from the first pitch. The Royals, on the other hand, hopefully with the aid of Tommy Pham and Salvador Perez, Hunter Renfroe, and Michael Wacha, guys that have been through it before, hopefully will feel as little tension as is humanly possible while playing your first ever playoff game. Royals have 20 to play. 20 to play, and at worst, a five-game cushion at the end of the night. A five-game cushion protecting that postseason spot that they currently possess. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to John in Mission. You're next up on the postgame show. John, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, can you hear me?
I got you. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, no, I just wanted to echo a lot of your sentiments tonight. One thing about the less than 20,000 crowd, I get that it might be disappointing, but there was a certain two-time Super Bowl champ the other night, and a lot of the fans that have the disposable income might have blew their wad the night before, so I'm not too worried about it, plus the seven-game losing streak. But more importantly, that seven-game losing streak, that might have – Fesco's talked about it in the morning, about we might have to win some more games to win people back and get their attention.
One thing to
look at around the world, or around baseball anyway, is it wasn't just us taking a face plant. A lot of the teams that we're going for those playoff spots for, it was more like a synchronized face plant. Boston face planted.
You talking about attendance?
No, last 10 wins. Like, we're 3-7 in our last 10.
Yeah,
I know
the
seven. Like, but if you look at, if you go to ESPN and you look at the standings, all the teams
they all gagged it away. I got the numbers right here. Yeah, no, Boston gained a grand total of 2 games. Detroit gained 3.5 during the Royals' 7-game losing streak. And, yeah, that spelled their doom, in my opinion, because the door was open. They refused to capitalize, and there's no reason to believe that the Royals wouldn't have turned it around before Boston or Detroit, and that appears to be exactly what's happened.
Yeah, and so, yeah, just to echo a previous caller, sorry I can't remember his name, but I appreciate his loyalty to the boys in blue. Don't just go for the 5 or the 6. Go for the 1. Cleveland's playing, the Indians are playing the Dodgers in a weekend series tonight. They've got a 4-banger against the Twinkies, and they end the season against the Astros.
But the Royals have the Yankees and the Twins and the Braves, so, yeah, I mean, everybody has a difficult schedule.
I know that it is, but play it out. Don't try to just hang on. Go for the gold. Go for that first week bye. Get guaranteed home games. That's where I'm at. But anyway, hey, this is my first call in for the season. I normally just text in, and it's usually a nefarious one because you know my propensity for JMO. But
yeah,
you're anyway,
really hammered love after the games, right?
Yep, love to hear you though, Vern.
He says, "Yep, John, great phone call, buddy. I appreciate it." 5-0, the final score. Royals handle the Minnesota Twins in one of the most well-rounded victories we've seen from this team in weeks. We get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
First pitch to Tommy Pham. Ripped down the left field line. That's a fair ball bouncing toward the left field corner. Isbell sprints around second, headed to third. Wilson waves him home. Farmers relay on a bounce, not nearly in time. Kyle Isbell slides in safely, and Tommy Pham delivers again. A blistering double down the left field line, and the Royals have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the third.
That's Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan, a second straight game in which Tommy Pham comes through with what turns out to be the game-winning RBI. Tommy Pham just played in his 5th game as a Royal, and he already has 2 go-ahead game-winning RBI. A 1-out RBI double there in the third put the boys up 1-0. They would go on to win 5-0, their 7th shutout of the season and their 77th win of the year. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. This win tonight is the 4th of the season against Minnesota. The Royals have still dropped 7 of the 11 meetings to the Twins. And yet, across those 11 meetings, they've been outscored by a grand total of 2 runs. 2 runs. two games remain against Minnesota. Alec Marsh tomorrow, Michael Wacha coming up on Sunday. Well, Bobby Witt Jr. took an 0-for tonight, so his batting average falls to .337. Still 10 points better than the next closest competitor for the batting title. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting .327. Bobby Witt Jr. hitting .337. Even though Bobby took an 0-for, he still scored a run. His 118th run scored of the season. That's most in baseball. And it's the fourth most in a single season in Royals franchise history. One shy of George Brett for third most in team history. George scored 119 runs back in 1979. I will say this, though. Bobby no longer on pace to break Johnny Damon's single season franchise record. He's scheduled to fall, or pacing to fall, just shy of the mark that has stood now for almost a quarter century. Our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Phone lines are open. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. Royals with the win tonight are now 6-9 in the Riptide, as I call it, this 20-game stretch against playoff teams and only playoff teams. My hope going in was 10-10. I said I'd be happy with 8-12. Royals need two more wins to meet my hope of 8-12. Two wins, five games remain. Two more with the Twins, and then three in the Bronx against the Yankees. Royals are 6-9, so they still have a chance to have a winning record in the Riptide. And it's my opinion, if they can finish this thing with two more wins, I don't care when they come, whether it's Sunday with Wacha and then the finale in New York with Reagans, however they can go about obtaining those two wins, if they get to eight wins, to me, the postseason becomes a certainty. But I've been proven wrong countless times before. I hope I'm not proven wrong there, but 6-9 so far in the Riptide. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7965. Spike in St. Joe is calling a seven-game winning streak. Yeah, that would be very Kansas City Royals, wouldn't it? Just historically, the last 15 years, that's very Kansas City. A seven-game losing streak followed by a seven-game winning streak. Spike, I don't think you're off base on that one. Jim from Kansas City, Vern, great pitching, timely hitting, and elite defense tonight. That is the winning formula come the postseason. Yeah, no doubt. Logan in Raytown. Vern, forget the wild card. I'm still dreaming about the division. I like it, Logan. Royals right now four games back of Cleveland, and the Guardians are on top of the Dodgers 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Sean in Waldo writes in, great start to this crucial series by Cole Reagans, Tommy Pham, and the boys in blue. They just need to come into the playoffs hot, and we have a chance. Yeah, I don't even know about that, Sean. Now, you would prefer the Royals roll into October. But even if they're, win one, lose one, win two, lose two, even if it's, so-so. Bobby cracks a first-inning home run and gives Cole Reagans the lead in New York or in Houston or in Baltimore. And suddenly you got the big dog on their heels. Suddenly Cole Reagans is on the attack and Bobby's looking for more and Hunter's swinging for the fences and MJ's going deep to that short porch in right. Okay, yeah, maybe you're taking on Corbin Burns or Garrett Cole or Framber Valdez. Maybe it's not going to be that easy. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7965. Kathy in L.A. has always been a fan of Tommy Pham. Happy to see him thrive in Kansas City. Raj in the Ozarks. Oh, just straight up fired up on a Friday night. Raj might be in the bottle. I don't know. I'm just joking. Someone in Raj's vicinity, I'm guessing, is polishing off a handle right now. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. How you doing? He has a great team win tonight. Yeah, Tommy Pham, two hits and a one RBI. Bobby, well, took an over but scored a run. And how about Cole Reagan? So seven strikeouts in six innings. And I was going to ask you a question. Josh, we don't talk too much. You know, sorry if I hogged the conversation too much. I was going to ask you, Vinny's doing pretty good in surgery. He thinks he might be back for the playoffs. Do you think he has a good chance of getting back?
Well, Dan, thanks for the phone call. I wouldn't say before the playoffs. And again, I'm barely a sports radio host. I'm certainly not a doctor. I'm not an athlete. But Vinny is an athlete, right? He's a professional freaking athlete, so I'm not going to put anything past him. It would be great if he could join the team at some point in the postseason run. You know, the initial diagnosis has him possibly returning for the World Series. But I'm sure deep down, Vinny has an earlier date set out for himself. You know, to get to where he's gotten to, right? One of the most clutch hitters in the big leagues coming from an 11th round pick. You know, what all these guys have persevered through, overcome, you know, been hard-headed about, just, you know, nose to the grindstone stuff. That's how you end up as a big leaguer. You know, think about what Cole Reagans has persevered through. You know, the multiple moments in his life where, you know, here's the exit. You know, here's a regular life. Now you're not going to be a big leaguer, but you don't have to work that hard to try and come back. You can give it up. Give it up. Or commit to, a second Tommy John recovery. You can hang up your spikes, or you can try to do something that, you know, not many first-rounders do. You know, overcome two Tommy John surgeries and become an ace of a playoff team. Yeah, if you want to work for it, but it's not going to be fun. It's going to be monotonous. You're going to be by yourself a lot. Reagan's puts his head down, got to work, you know, with the support of his friends and his family and his wife. And look at him now. I mean, through 29 starts, right? His first 29 starts this season. Only Zach Greinke has more strikeouts in Royals history through 29 starts. As a matter of fact, since 1947, right, since baseball joined the 21st century? Since 1947, there's been only 25 lefties in history, 25 men in history that have had more strikeouts through the first 29 starts of a season than Cole Reagans. And that's remarkable. So yeah, Vinny Pasquantino could return for the postseason. I'm not going to put anything past these competition addicts, these workaholics. No. Dan, I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Nice hearing from you. Royals win 5-0, and now we turn our eyes to Alec Marsh as he squares off with, man, a quality righty in Bailey Ober. What a season he's having. And if it wasn't for Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober would be the ace of this Minnesota staff. Especially now that Joe Ryan's gone for the season. So the Royals are fortunate that they avoid Pablo Lopez, but they're going to get a mouthful of Bailey Ober tomorrow. Hopefully Alec Marsh is ready to return the favor. 6:15 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock with your chance to win tickets to see the Royals as we're down to the final 8 home games of the year. I want to thank JT Noah for the help back at the studio. Great job as always. Always a treat working with you. Thanks to Michael Massey for dialing us up after this 5-0 win. Royals fans, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. I appreciate you listening. Take care.